Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Naram Chaiva Naratavam
Devim Sarasatim Vyasam
Sato Jayam Udirayat
Nasta Praeshu Abhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavata Yuttama Shloke
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki.
This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, entitled Scheduled Incarnations. Text number 41.
Nantam
Nantam
Vidami
Vidyami
Aham
Aham
Ami
Ami
Munayo
Munayo
Agraja
Agraja
Te
Te
Maya
Maya
Balasya
Balasya
Purushasya
Purushasya
Suto Avara
Ye
Gayan
Gayan
Gurnan
Gurnan
Dashashanatana
Dashashanatana
Adidevaha
Adidevaha
Sesho Adunapi Samavasyati
Samavasyati
Nasya
Nasya
Param Nantam vidamya hamami manayo grajaste
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 Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Maya balasya
Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Maya balasya purushasya kuto varaye
Gayan gunanda shasanatana adideva
Gayan gunanda shasanatana adideva
Gayan gunanda shasanatana adideva
Gayan gunanda
Shesho dunapi samavasyati nasya param
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 Nantam vidamya hamami munayo grajaste
Neva
Antam
Antam
End
Vidami
Vidami Do I know?
Do I know?
Aham
Aham
Myself
Myself
Ami
Ami
And all those
And all those
Munayaha
Munayaha
Great sages
Great sages
Agrajaha
Agrajaha
Born prior to you
Born prior to you
Te
Te
You
You.
Maya balasya
Maya balasya
Of the omnipotent
Omnipotent
Purushasya
Purushasya
Of the personality of Godhead
Personality of Godhead
Kutaha
Kutaha
What to speak of others Avaraha, born after us.
Born after us.
Those. Gayan, by singing. Gunan, the qualities. Dasha-satananaha, one who has 1,000 faces. Adidevaha, the first incarnation of the Lord. Sheshaha, known as Shesha. Aduna, until now. Api, even. Samavasyati, can achieve. Not. Asya, of him. Param, limit. Translation. Neither I nor all the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others who are born after us know about him? Even the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Shesha, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge, although he is describing the qualities of the Lord with 1,000 faces. Responsibly, please repeat. Neither I nor all the sages,
born before you,
know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others, who are born after us,
know about him?
Even the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Shesha, has not been able to reach the limit
of such knowledge.
Although he is describing the qualities of the Lord with 1,000 faces. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The omnipotent personality of Godhead has primarily three potential manifestations, namely internal, external, and marginal potencies, with unlimited expansions of these three energies. As such, the potential expansions can never be calculated by anyone, because even the personality of God himself, as the incarnation of Shesha, cannot estimate the potencies, although he has been describing them continuously with his 1,000 faces. Nantam vidanyam amimunaya grajaste maya balasya purusasya kutovaraye Dayan gunam dasa satanana adi deva shesho dunapi samavasyatina siparam. Neither I nor all the sages born before you know fully the omnipotent personality of Godhead. So what can others who are born after us know about him? Even the first incarnation of the Lord, namely Shesha, has not been able to reach the limit of such knowledge, although he is describing the qualities of the Lord with 1,000 faces. So this verse is quoted in different places in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures. And of course, it demonstrates how much we are dependent upon the process of surrender to the Lord. In the material world, people attempt to acquire knowledge
of any subject for the purpose of establishing control, for the purpose of exploitation. The scientists, for example, are endeavoring to know the creation, to know the universe or universes, to know the cause of the universes, etc. And their motive is simply to control material energy and exploit material energy to fulfill their desires for sense gratification. But we have all seen that so many scientists have come and gone while endeavoring to understand even the material body. They have such little knowledge. They don't know even how food is transformed into energy. They don't fully understand the process of digestion, and they don't understand how the body is actually working. One would think if they were so powerful in knowledge that they could understand everything about the instrument which they are using to acquire knowledge, namely the material body, but even that they don't know. So what to speak of understanding beyond their bodies, beyond the planet that they live on, or even beyond the universe in which they live? There's virtually no chance. In fact, they employ a process known as the empirical method. Try to understand. Extending their senses. But it is very categorically stated in the Shastra and by all of the great acharyas that it is not possible. Ataha Sri Krishna Nama Dinava Vedgrayam Indriyai. By extending the senses, it is not possible to know the unlimited personality of Godhead. We are limited, so the limited cannot know the limits of the unlimited. The materialists are very proud of their eyes, so they demand from all theists, if there is God, show me. But as we know, one cannot see his own hand 2 feet in front of his face. When the lights are out at night, one cannot see his own hand. So what is the power of his seeing? It is very much limited by various factors. So all of the senses, in the same way, they're limited. You can extend them so far, but the farther you try to extend the senses, the less accurate they become. And ultimately it is said, Pantastu koti shatavat sara sampragamyo vayoratapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yat prapadasimya vichintyatate Govindamadi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. You can travel on a spaceship at the speed of mind, or even the speed of wind if you're a little slower. You still can't understand or even approach Prapada Simya. You can't even approach the toe of the lotus feet of the Lord after millions and millions of years of traveling on such a spaceship. The greatest yogis, who practice this system of Ashtanga Yoga, the Eightfold System of Mysticism, Even they cannot know Krishna by their drilling the respiration, or in other words, by pranayama, by the breathing process, and pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Yoga begins from pranayama. The others are preliminary processes, yam, niyam, and asana. People practice, this is how degraded and how impudent, really impudent, arrogant people are in this Kali Yuga, that they want to practice yoga generally for improving their physical condition, for having better sex life. This is the modern fad in the Western countries. But yam niyam, first of all, you have to be a human being, yama. You have to have some sense of morality and ethics. For example, you see the way ethics are, that everything is changing. There's no standard of ethics. What was unethical 50 years ago has become commonplace today. For example, abortion. 50 years ago, without scientific, or say 100 years ago, without scientific instruments, even without seeing the womb, without, today you can see the womb, you can see an abortion taking place by using sonography. You can actually have a television on a woman's stomach and watch the abortion as the knife goes into the womb and cuts away at the fetus, and you can see the fetus running here and there within the womb. The poor fetus feels the sharp instrument, and you can see the baby reacting, and easily you can understand that it's murder. But even 100 years ago, they had no such instrumentation, but they knew that this was infanticide, that it was murder, and it was totally unethical in civilized society. But today, everything for convenience, for sense gratification, has become everything, anything. If it feels good, do it. That's the morality and ethics. So what to speak of niyam? People have no strength to practice any rules and regulations. The mind is weak, so weak, due to intoxication, due to illicit sex. The minds of men have become so weak. There's no question of properly practicing yoga and asana. Nobody has the patience to sit still even for a few minutes. What to speak of 60,000 years, Vishwamitra sat in samadhi, simply trying to know God. He took so much trouble to sit still for 60,000 years. He had good control of his senses and mind. He could practice pranayama, but not today. Nobody has the capability. So what to speak of the mundane scientists who don't even know about the process of yoga? They don't even know about controlling the senses. How will they ever know anything? You cannot acquire knowledge through imperfect instruments. If you use imperfect instruments, then all of the knowledge and data that you acquire will be subject to so many imperfections. Basically, we have four propensities or four imperfections. Our senses are limited, we make mistakes, we have a tendency to be an illusion, and we cheat. This is the age of cheating in everything, everywhere. Everyone is cheating. Corruption is rampant from the highest down to the lowest, everywhere. It's not only in India, it's all over the world. Simply they're a little more sophisticated in some places, but cheating is rampant everywhere. Corruption degradation. It is no place for a gentleman. You cannot find satisfaction. Who was the Greek fellow, Diogenes? Somebody used to wander through the streets of Athens looking in the eyes of people for one honest man. And even thousands of years ago, he couldn't find any honest men. So what to speak of Kali Yuga? So therefore, how is it possible to understand? And Krishna says it here. He says it in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishani chabutani mam tu veda nakaschana. Nobody can understand me. Krishna is adhoksaja. Adhoksaja means that he is above the modes of material nature. He's transcendental. And unless you extend yourself, unless you come to the transcendental, sagunan samatityaitam, unless you go beyond the gunas to the transcendental platform, you can't even begin to understand Krishna because you're within yoga maya. You're totally controlled by a yoga maya. And Krishna says, naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrata. Nobody, I cover them by my deluding potency. Maya. They cannot understand because everything they understand to be knowledge is actually ignorance. One can only acquire, using these material senses, more knowledge to support ignorance. The process, the very processes of acquiring knowledge are imperfect. So, therefore also, Lord Brahma, who is the greatest living being within the universe, he admits his inability to understand Krishna. And actually this humility is the beginning of understanding. It is possible to understand Krishna to a limit. And that is perfection. It is not necessary to know everything about God to achieve perfection. But one must have, to his full capacity, absorption in knowledge of God. Just like light coming from the powerhouse illumines many types of bulbs. 60-watt bulb, 100-watt bulb, 1,000-watt bulb, 5,000-watt bulb. The electricity is unlimited in the powerhouse. But according to the capacity to receive that electricity, the bulbs are giving off light. So we, Jiva Shakti, we who are Vibhinamsa expansions of Krishna, we can understand God up to a certain limit, and we have to endeavor to know Him. Because we have the capacity to know something, we must use that capacity to know God. Otherwise, the other side is to know illusion. That is maya jal. We become entangled and deeper in ignorance. Nescience, not knowing. Nescience, nescience. We become deeper and deeper, more deeply entangled in ignorance. Lord Brahma is so great that his body is huge, covering a huge portion of the universe. And his brain is so great that simply by hearing the flute of Krishna and receiving that sound vibration in his ear, in his heart and meditating on that sound, after performing rigid austerities, he acquired knowledge how to create the entire universe. One person acquired all of that knowledge, how to create the entire universe, how to adjust everything. So he's so powerful, and yet he is taking a very humble approach. And he was actually humbled also in the Brahma Vimohan Leela. We know how Lord Brahma, in a state of ignorance, thought that he could control Krishna, thought that he could know Krishna. But then when Krishna played a trick on him, Lord Brahma thought, I'm very powerful, I have mystic potency, I will show Krishna my mystic energy, I will capture him. I will capture all the cows and coward boys and I will bewilder Krishna. But then, finally, when Krishna showed his mystic potency, Lord Brahma finally admitted and offered his prayers. But this is one of the qualities of a devotee, that he is able to acknowledge his insignificant condition. And it's very easy for a pure devotee to be humble, because he understands that before the Lord he's insignificant, and he understands that by the Lord's mercy he can be empowered or he can become totally disempowered. He's totally under the control of the Lord, dependent upon the Lord for everything. And therefore, he feels himself helpless. He feels very humble. Lord Brahma has admitted that. But unfortunately, in this day and age, people are so proud and arrogant, it's very hard to enlighten them. So the devotees go out and try to engage people. Please, sir, and Prabhupada gave us the formula for preaching, that you're a very intelligent man. First of all, you flatter them. You're very wealthy. You've done very well. You've worked hard. You've built up a good business. You have a very attractive family. You've raised a good family. And you're well situated. You have a lot of prestige and knowledge. And you have so many good things, but I have one request. Just give up all this foolish nonsense and surrender to Krishna. First of all, you flatter them, and then you very carefully smash their situation. Not smash them, but convince them by humble persuasion that whatever they have at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smriti, if you can't remember God, then Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, whatever you have done in your life, it is simply useless labor only. Krishna is so great, in the Brahma Samhita again it is stated, Yasyaika Nishvasita Kav, Yasyaika Nishvasita Kavalam Vyaji Vanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanata Vishnur Mahansa Yayasya Kalavishesho Govinda Madi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. Shankarshan, Sheshanaga. Shankarshan, so many universes are coming from Mahavishnu, actually. So many universes are coming from the pores of his body, and so many universes are entering into his body when he breathes in and when he breathes out. So many universes are coming. So in his dreaming state, everything, all of the different universes are coming and going, and this just in his breathing in and out. So he is so great, and one cannot even understand anything about Mahavishnu. What to speak of understanding the personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the origin of Mahavishnu. So the whole description of the universe given in the Vedic literatures is very elaborate, and one could go on studying the nature of creation for his whole lifetime, and still there are different theories. We find that Jiva Goswami says one thing, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has different theories and ideas, and even they're both right. So these are great scholars.